Appreciate that preaching this morning. He made a statement there that sinlessness qualified the Savior to be the sacrifice. Peter said that we have been redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, without spot and without blemish. I remember years ago, Brother Jack Tripp was preaching here one morning out of the book of Galatians, and he was talking about the people who came to Jerusalem to bring their sacrifices to offer to the Lord. And he said farmers would come, sick people would come. They would not be dressed in the best attire. Some would have broken bones, walking with a cane. But he said when they came to the high priest to bring their offering, the priest was not looking at them. The priest was looking at the sacrifice. And that sacrifice, being without spot and blemish, was acceptable. That's the way we were. When we came to him, we were broken. We were sick, sin sick, but he wasn't looking at us. He was looking at the sacrifice. Hallelujah. He is sinless. He is holy and harmless and undefiled. Thank you, Brother Taylor. Going to have our second message. Let's stand for a moment. Rest yourself. I appreciate Brother Randy Hobbs and his family. They are friends to camp meeting. They have a heart for camp meeting. He pastors the New Hope Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina. And I love this man. And I'm going to ask him to come and preach to us. And you hear him gladly. He's God's man for this time here this morning. Brother Randy, you come. I love you, brother.
Thank you for the honor and the privilege. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 18. Brother Steve, thank you for this privilege and honor to preach the word at this special place.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I esteem these men here highly in the Lord. Thank God for these two men, Brother Steve, Brother Jamie. Had surgery a few months ago. I had to be at the hospital at 5 o'clock in the morning. Brother Steve called me on the phone, prayed with me. Brother, I appreciate that. You don't forget things like that, Brother Steve. And thank you what you do. We can have a place here and get some help. Wasn't that good preaching? Thank you, Brother Taylor. Acts chapter 18. If you are willing and able to stand, please, we're going to read a couple verses from Acts chapter number 18. In verses 9, 10, and 11. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. By the help of the Lord, for the next few minutes, I want to preach on this subject. It's too soon to quit. Amen. It's too soon to quit. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we come in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, who did for us what we could not do for ourselves. God, we need you, Father. I pray you'd speak to thy servant, speak to me, speak through me. I pray the Lord Jesus might receive maximum praise and glory and honor to his name. And Father, we'll praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name, and for thy sake we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. One of the great temptations we face in life is that whenever things get tough, that we have the temptation to quit. As I read the word of God, I find that there's many men of God and people in the Bible that also had that temptation to quit when things got tough. Here I see in Acts chapter number 18, I believe the Apostle Paul, I believe with all of my heart that in Acts chapter 18, the Apostle Paul was faced with a temptation to quit. Well, the Bible says in verse number 1, the Bible says, chapter 18, verse 1, that Paul came from Athens to Corinth. Paul was at a difficult place in his ministry. Corinth was a commercial city. It was a place, it was a land bridge. And those that would travel from northern part of Greece to southern part of Greece had to come through Corinth. On both sides of this land bridge, there were ports, and goods would come in from both sides of these ports. It was a trade center. It was a commercial center. But may I say also about Corinth, that it was a corrupt city. The most corrupt city in the Roman Empire was the city of Corinth. There was the temple Venus there, the Roman goddess of love. And there was a thousand temple prostitutes that would come down in the nighttime to ply their trade. It was a very wicked place. It was a very depraved place. It was a very corrupt place. Paul was at a difficult place. May I say to you this morning, there are no easy places to serve God. I know a lot of times we think, well, if I could just be here, if I could just go there, that it would be an easy place. But hear me this morning, there are no easy places to serve God. The Apostle Paul, he was at a difficult place. He not only was at a difficult place, he was at a difficult time. If you'll notice in chapter number 18, the Bible says, if you would please, look at 18 and verse 2. The Bible says that, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born of Pontus, lately came from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius, that's the Roman emperor, had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. It was a time of persecution. Claudius, the Roman emperor, had commanded. There was an order. There was an edict for all the Jews to leave Rome. And Paul was a Jew, and Paul was a Christian. He was at a difficult place. He was at a difficult time, a time of persecution. But it was at that time, when there was a difficult place, at a difficult time, that the Lord came to the Apostle Paul and said, be not afraid. Is that not just like our Lord? Whenever times are difficult, at a difficult place, the Lord comes and says, be not afraid. The Bible says when Abraham was at a difficult place, the Lord said to Abraham, be not afraid. When Jacob was at a difficult place, the Lord said, be not afraid. When Daniel was at a difficult place, the Lord said, be not afraid. Oh, listen, here the Apostle Paul, he was at a difficult place, he was at a difficult time, and the Lord said unto him, be not afraid. Are we not in a difficult time, in a difficult place? We're at a difficult time and a difficult place in our country. I don't know about you this morning, but I believe apart from divine intervention, this country's gone apart from divine touch of God. Are not our churches in a difficult time? Many churches are struggling. Many preachers are at a difficult time. There's so much antagonism and so much apathy and so much indifference to the things of God. Christians are at a difficult time. We come to the church and we have our nice clothes on and we smile. But I want you to know there's a lot of people that have things going on in their life that we never know what they're faced with. But it's at that difficult time, it's at that difficult place that the Lord will come to you and say, be not afraid. Now notice in our text here, the Lord says to Paul, I am with thee. I want to ask you a question this morning. What does it mean when we say the Lord is with thee? Sometimes we say we go to the funeral home and we visit somebody and we say the Lord's with you. What do we mean by that? We pray, Lord, be with them. What does it mean when we say, what does it mean when we pray, the Lord is with you? I want to share in this text this morning, there's five ways that the Lord is with us. Five ways that the Lord is with God's people. I want to say, first of all, that the Lord is with his people in his person. Notice what the Bible says in verse 10. He says, I am with thee. Now when the Apostle Paul came to Corinth, he left Timothy behind. He left Silas behind. And he felt alone. But he says, I am with thee. Whenever you can't see him, and whenever you can't sense him, whenever you can't track God, and whenever you can't trace God, I'm glad that he is with us. When Jesus came to this world and when he was born, he said his name was Emmanuel, God with us. He's with us in our sorrows. He's with us in our struggles. He's with us in our service. When Jesus went back to heaven, he said, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul was doing. And he says, lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Oh, yes, he's with us. He's with us. He's God with us. Now, I read in the Word of God that every time the Apostle Paul ever got himself in a tight place, you read three times in the book of Acts, when Paul was in a tight place, the Lord came to him and said, Paul, I'm with thee. In Acts 23 and verse number 11, the Apostle Paul was brought before the Sanhedrin by his own people, and the Lord said, Paul, I'm with thee. Acts 27 and verse 23, during that shipwreck, the Apostle Paul could have lost his life. He said, you ought not sail. You ought not go. They should have listened to the man of God, and they sailed anyway. But during that storm, oh, listen, the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul, that great I am and whom I serve, and said, Paul, fear not, I'm with thee. At the end of his life, while Paul was in prison, he was in trial for his life. And the next footsteps he heard could have been those to come to take his life. But Paul said, the Lord stood by me and he strengthened me. He said, Demas has forsaken me. All men have forsaken me. But he said, the Lord stood by me. I'm glad this morning that the Lord is with us in his person. He is the great I am. That word I am there means the Lord himself. The Lord himself is with us. That's better than Gabriel. That's better than Michael. I'm glad we've got the angels this morning, but thank God, aren't you glad the Lord is with us? He is the great I am. He's not the God that was. He's not the God that will be, but he is the great I am. I say, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that makes me think of what Jesus said in John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection. I am the good shepherd. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I say, child of God, it's too soon to quit, because we have the Lord with us in his person. He's with us. Bless his holy name. He says in Isaiah, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I'm thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I'll uphold thee. I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall any flame kindle upon me. Psalm 23 and verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says this, for he has said, if he said it, I'd say it. If he said it, I'd say it. For he has said, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee. I bless his name this morning. Oh, I'm glad the Lord's with us in his person. Your best friends may walk away from you. Your spouse may walk away from you. I want to tell you, there's someone who'll stay with you. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not a fair-weather friend, but he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I say it's too soon to give up, because the Lord's with us in his person. I want to say, secondly, the Lord's with us in his providence. That word providence comes from two Latin words, which means to see beforehand. Luck and chance is the language of the heathen. We don't live by luck and chance and incidents, but we live by the divine providence of God. I'm glad this morning there's an unseen hand that leads me, guides me through this land by the providence of God. That word providence means to see beforehand. It means to prepare and go beforehand. The Bible says in John 10 and verse 4 that the good shepherd putteth forth his sheep and he goes before them. There's no situation in this life where God will not go before us. And God went before the Apostle Paul. Did you know when Paul left Athens and came to Corinth, it was about a 50-mile journey. He came by himself, and I'm sure he wondered, where am I going to stay? He did not have a mission board. He did not have a travel agency. And he thought, where in God's name am I going to stay? But I want to tell you, God's providence went before him. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born upon us lately, and his wife Priscilla. They had been cast out of Rome by the command of Claudius, 1,000 miles away, and came in contact with the Apostle Paul. You say that's accident? No, it's the providence of God. Amen. Paul found a place to stay. The Bible says in verse 3 that he abode with them. He had a place to stay. How did that come about? By the divine providence of God. He not only had a place to stay, he found a job. The Bible said they were tent makers. The Apostle Paul was a tent maker. That also means leather works. I mean, they're Jews. Had the same place, the same job. God provided every need he had. Oh, he was a tent maker. He didn't want to be like those charlatan preachers. Hey, I want to say this right here. For you preachers that are bivocational, God bless you. Some of you at churches where they can't support you full-time and you have to tent make and you're bivocational, I say bless God, thank God for you. Stay in there. It's too soon to quit. God will take care of you. Amen. Hey, I say this morning, the Lord's with us in his providence. I do not know what your need is. I don't know what you're faced with. You may need a place. You may need a job. But I want to tell you, the God we serve is a God of providence. Oh, listen, he's God that's able to arrange the circumstances of our life. I praise God. I praise the holy name of Jesus for the divine providence of Almighty God. He's with us in his providence. Amen. Romans 8:28 still works. Romans 8:28, and we know. How do we know? We know by the scriptures. How do we know? By the Holy Ghost. How do we know? We know by experience that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who the called. I don't know about you, but I'm one of them who the called according to his purpose. I tell you, God in his providence, he'll be with you, and God in his providence will provide. It's too soon to quit because he's with us in his person. He's with us in his providence. Let me say thirdly, he's with us in his people. You know God will come to you through his people. Now, I believe in angels. I believe in angels and the ministering spirit to the heirs of salvation. But I thank God this morning for flesh and blood angels. Amen. Several months ago, I had surgery. And I was down for a little while. Oh, the Lord sent some flesh and blood angels my way to minister to me. Did you know that the Lord can come to someone through you? When's the last time the Lord has been to someone through you? The Apostle Paul could have never done it without people. Sometimes we preachers, we think we can do it all, but we can't do it. And I thank God for the people in my ministry. I thank God for the people in my life that God sent my way. And the Lord has come to me through people. The Apostle Paul, he could not have done it without Timothy. Timothy came with a good report about that church of Thessalonica. He couldn't have done it without Silas. Silas brought that love offering. He didn't have to tent make anymore. By the way, I think a church, when they can, and they can do it, they ought to take care of God's man. Amen. And I brought that offering. He didn't have to tent make anymore. And listen, anytime you give an offering, boy, the Lord is using you. The Lord is coming through you. The Lord is ministering to you. Amen. Some of you men of God know what I'm talking about. Just when you need it, somebody came. It was the Lord coming to you. Amen. Not only there was a man by the name of Justice in this text. Look at verse 7. And he departed thence. Paul was thrown out of the synagogue. He came across a man named Justice. And the Bible says that he had a house right near the synagogue. His house was right near the synagogue. And the Apostle Paul was able to have a church. And he stayed there for a year and 6 months because of this man by the name of Justice. But also there's an unsaved man that God used by the name of Gallio. Paul was arrested. The Jews wanted him gone. The Jews wanted him dead. And Gallio, he was an unsaved man, and yet he saw through this. And he ruled to throw it out of court. I'm telling you, God even used an unsaved man to help The Apostle Paul. I read in the Word of God about a man named Cyrus.
Yes, sir.
God used a heathen king by the name of Cyrus. And God moved on him, and God gave them the need and protection they needed to go back and rebuild the land. I'm saying God comes to you through people. I want to tell you, that makes me think about two things. Number one, I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better friend to somebody. And then number two, I say I thank God for the church. I won't tell you, you can badmouth the church all you want to. You can run the church down all you want, but thank God for the church. Thank God for God's people. I got clothes on my back because of God's people. I'm telling you, I've been able to have food on my table because of God's people. I've been able to minister because of God's people. I thank God they run us down and they talk about us all they want to. But hallelujah, thank God for the church. Thank God for God's people. Amen. Hallelujah. Too soon to give up. He'll come to you. In his person, he'll come to you. In his providence. I want to tell you, thirdly, he'll come to you in his power. How you know the power of God was manifested here in Acts chapter 18? People being saved. People being saved and Satan was fighting. Just because you're having opposition doesn't mean the Lord is not with you. It's a good sign the Lord's with you if you're having opposition. It's a good sign the Lord's with you having trouble. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, the devil never kicks a dead horse. It's a sign God's with you. Everywhere Paul went, there's either a riot or a revival. I'll tell you, God was with that man. God was on that man. God's with us in his power. God's with us. There'll be opposition. Now, the Bible tells us here in the Word of God that many Corinthians, notice what the Bible says in verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house and many of the Corinthians. Now notice the order here. Hearing. Hearing. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. Believed and were baptized. Amen. I'll tell you, the gospel still works. It was the most wicked city in the Roman Empire, full of vice and full of corruption. But you know what they needed? They needed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you, that's what our country needs. That's what our community needs. That's what our cities need, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is still the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Thank God. Paul said to that same crowd, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he said that thieves and covetous and fornicators and idolaters and that whole crowd will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But he said, but were such as some of you. But you have been justified. You've been sanctified. I say it's too soon to quit. The gospel of Jesus Christ still works. Thank God he still has the power. Keep preaching. Then I want to say also, God's with us in his promise. Amen. Look at verse 10. I'm with thee, and no man shall set hurt on. That means to attack thee, to ambush thee. For I have much people in this city. God's with us in his promises. Thank God for the precious promises of God's word. They are exceeding. They're able to do far and with everything. They're precious. What could we do without the precious promises of God? I say with Adoniram Judson this morning that the prospect is just as bright as the promises of God. We're not supposed to live by circumstances, but I'll tell you, we live by the precious promises of the Word of God. And God gave Paul a promise, and Spurgeon says this, that the promises of God read better in the fiery furnace. You're going through a hard time, stand on the promises of God. He promised he was going to protect him. You're invincible to God's through with you. I believe that. I believe God can keep the devil off of you. He promised there's much people in this city. There's 250,000 people in Corinth. Paul, don't you give up. You keep on preaching. I got my people there. You hear me this morning, God's going to save his people. You just keep on preaching. You keep preaching the word of God. Hey, listen, there may be times they're not going to get saved, but there's going to be times there are going to be people saved. Hallelujah. God is going to save people. God's going to save his people. He didn't come. Listen, I believe the gospel's for the world, but he came to call a people out from the world. And listen, there were some people there in Corinth. He said, Paul, don't quit. Don't give up. Keep on preaching. Keep on speaking, because I have much people in that city. I say to every man of God, I say to every Christian this morning, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on preaching. That seems to be the theme this week, that God has hammered time and time again, just to keep on, keep it on. Christopher Columbus opened up exploration, navigation. He kept a journal. He kept a journal daily. And this was the thing that he registered, but most of all, more than anything, we saw nothing, but we sailed on. We saw nothing, but we sailed on. You may not be seeing anything this morning, but bless God, just keep on sailing on. That's what I want to say this Amen. Morning. Just keep on sailing on. Sail on for the glory of God. Amen.
Don't you appreciate that preaching this morning? Amen.